You've done a deep dive on referee experiences in France and the Netherlands and England and La Liga. They all look like close neighbours to us in Australia, but what sort of cultural differences did you come across in referee experiences?
Yeah, so interesting. I mean, Europe's quite an interesting one because although the countries are geographically quite close, I mean, if we're talking about Australia, obviously it's a massive country, and you know, Australasia, Oceania is huge, covers a huge geographical area. When we're talking about Europe, it's relatively close together. So yeah, absolutely, I take your point. But within that, there are quite significant differences in terms of the culture. So if you look at Latin Europe, for example, and we're talking about Italy, Spain, Portugal, those sorts of countries, compared to somewhere that's more anglicised like the UK or somewhere like Scandinavia, which again has slightly different values and things. What we see is quite significant differences in terms of what's acceptable. So when we're talking about the laws of the game and the interpretation of the laws of the game, what's acceptable in terms of player behaviour. So if you look at those countries, which I talked about, Latin countries, Latin Europe, you know, it's far more acceptable to simulate, if you like, to dive. In Italy and Spain, it's considered, particularly in Italy, part of the game, you know, that players will do it. And in fact, it's the referee's fault if they don't detect it. It's not the player's fault for doing it. Whereas if you look in the UK, in England, in the Premier League, it's something that's frowned upon. You don't see it very often. And we don't have that ethos built into football in England. It's not part of the game, if you like. Which is why when you see players come to England from some of those countries, it is a bit of a culture shock because, you know, it might be acceptable in a Portuguese league and a Spanish league, and it might be part of the game, but in England it's not. And it's not something which is considered acceptable. So even with player behaviour and therefore how you officiate, that changes. There are differences in terms of the training and the development. Every system is slightly different, even in Europe. The systems aren't the same. The development pathways aren't the same. And so what happens in one country might not be the same as what happens in another country. There are differences at the top level in terms of promotion and relegation of even the elite officials. There are differences in terms of the fitness tests they do, in terms of the technical development and testing that they do as well. So the work we did, and you mentioned a few of the countries there, there's significant differences. And we can look at abuse as well. And there's differences in terms of how that abuse manifests itself, but also in terms of the levels of abuse that people and officials in football are subjected to. So in the Netherlands, that abuse level is lower. It's still higher than 50% for verbal abuse, but it's not as high as we see in England, for example. But there are reasons for that. And one of the reasons for that is that, unfortunately, a number of years ago, about 7 or 8 years ago, there was a tragedy in Dutch football where an assistant referee was attacked and killed after a youth match by supporters of the opposite team. And that, quite understandably, has led to significant policy shifts and changes within the policy in the Netherlands. And so they've brought in a number of different policies which are focused on the abuse of officials. They've put in place more support networks around officials. And what they've seen is a reduction in abuse towards officials. It's still higher than other sports, but it's not as high as we see in other countries in terms of football. So there are reasons for the differences, but there are also similarities and trends which we can see across countries. And again, that might be in terms of the abuse levels and particularly verbal abuse, but also some of the training and development as well. There are crossovers there. But when you start digging down, you start to realise that there are some differences and they are reasonably significant when you go to different countries, even within Europe. And then, of course, if you go to somewhere like South America, you'll see, you know, changes and differences that are exacerbated even further. So some of that comes down to funding. Some of that comes down to the profile of the leagues and the, you know, the Premier League, for example, in England has got, you know, a significant profile, but also is the most successful football competition that there is in terms of exporting the television rights and the sponsorship and the income that it generates, which is why they can afford to invest like they're doing this summer over approximately £500,000 in elite officiating, you know, and bringing in more posts for those referees at the top level. They can do that because of the money that's in the game. It's not the same in some countries. So when we start digging below the surface a little bit, we start to see that these differences, you know, occur and also how they manifest themselves in performance as well.